Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your mega preview pod for this week's, oh boy, RSM Classic, Netflix Cup, DP World Tour Championship. It's storylines, it's best bets, it's everything you could possibly imagine. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here, but Patrick McDonald is also in Las Vegas. Hello, Patrick.
What's up, gang? You know, me and Rick, Kyle, we got dinner last night, and it was like his usual spot. He was telling me about the executive chef. They rolled out the red carpet for him, kissing his feet, but he was also singing your praises as well. You know, when you're at tournaments together, how you're pretty much the mayor of the media center, just shaking hands, kissing babies, asking how everyone's doing.
That's
new nicknames. That's the fault. Mayor, and I guess we can call Rick the governor as well after last night's experience.
Or the executive. The chef.
Kyle Porter, you know everybody in that media center, and everybody knows you, and you introduce me to people, and when you walk away for 10 minutes, I'm a scared little puppy, and I go back to my crate, and I just wait for you to come back. That's all.
Well, it's, I've been there too long, I think. People are just used to seeing me, but it is fun. You know, I was thinking about this. Are you guys in the same hotel?
No, we're across the street.
Rick, do you remember, was it at the PGA this year where we had to sit on the same seat in the same hotel room because your Wi-Fi kept going out? I was hoping we'd get another of those moments. That was, for people that were watching on YouTube, that had to be an all-timer.
We literally, I left my room, went to Kyle's, and we reemerged. I'm sitting on his lap, basically.
Just one cheek on each, one cheek each on the seat. It was a tough scene, but no, I mean, it's crazy. You know, it's November 14th, and we actually have a ton to talk about in terms of golf, right? Like you mentioned some of the events, but I think Koepka and Hideki are playing in Asia or is it Japan?
Yeah, Japan. Wyndham Clark's out there too.
Okay. Yeah. So it's very global right now, which is fun. I think it keeps it interesting at a kind of downtime of year.
Yeah. Speaking of fun, I mean, we'll start with the Netflix Cup here, Patrick. You're here to cover it. You're on site, and I think it is going to be fun. I think there's a much larger picture here about what Netflix might do entering the live sports game because we'll see how it looks. You know, I assume you're going to be able to go to Netflix today and you're going to have it on the home screen, watch this sporting event live, something they've never done before. So it'll be Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa representing the full swing golfers. And then you get Lando Norris, Carlos Sainz, Alex Albon, and Pierre Gasly representing the F1 drivers. Obviously F1 here in Vegas this week, but this will be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be interesting, but I care much more about the bigger picture here.
Yeah, I think yourself and Kyle have kind of been harping that for a while with this just being a toe in the water for Netflix and what it could potentially mean for them when you look at streaming services like Apple TV, Amazon Prime. Netflix, you would think, might get their their skin in the game as well, and this might just be the start of that. But yeah, it should be a fun event. I think Kyle might actually have the best seat in the house just seeing how the product is on his television with how they bounce back and forth between Joel Damon and Kay Adams. And I mean, freaking Marshawn Lynch is in there as well. I know they have some special guests appearing on the broadcast as well. So it'll be a fun event. I'm probably it's probably going to be similar to the match. I don't know how it'll differentiate from that, so to speak, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited to be out here, and yeah, should be a lot of fun.
KP probably has the best seat in the house, and also some in-depth handicapping opinion. You've seen Pierre Gasly. You've played golf with Pierre Gasly. I mean, I don't know. Can Alex Albon play? Can Carlos Sainz play? Can Lando Norris play? How is Pierre at golf?
Pierre, so when we played together, I played bad, and he played, I think, pretty good for him, and we were about the same. You've played with me, Rick, so you kind of know like what my bad would be. It's not great. I think we both shot like around 50. It was I'm usually I'm usually around 45, maybe between 40 and 45. I shot like 50, 51, and that's right where he was too. All these guys are athletic, right? Like their hand eye coordination is literally world class. So they can kind of figure it out. He'll make some, and I think this will especially be true tonight because he was already talking about how nervous he is. This was 3 weeks ago. He'll make some really bad swings, like some swings where you're like, that was close to a whiff. But then he'll make some other swings where you're like, he can kind of get it around. So he was talking about, I can't remember. I think he said Lando's pretty good. And I'm pretty sure Alex Albon is good. He's the one whose girlfriend is an LPGA player, right?
Yeah, I think in Austin, someone asked him about that, and he was like, "Yeah, I do not listen to anything she says on the golf course." So he might be a bit of a loose cannon.
Great. That's they're playing a scramble, right? Like that's what you want is somebody that's just. I mean, you know, hits a great shot. Isn't that the scramble format? Yeah. Correct. So are they going to use any
you know, you'd think it would have to be, what? I mean, if they're playing a pure, so the way the format is, it's 8 holes of match play and a scramble, but if they're playing a pure scramble, I'd be pretty surprised if any F1 driver shots were used ever. I mean, maybe putts if you make a putt, but like if it's just a pure scramble, we've seen times where it's a shamble or you've got to use so many, but if that's what it is, Patrick, it might just be Justin Thomas versus Ricky Fowler versus Max Homa versus Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, they threw in quote like surprise challenges in the press release, so I'm guessing that'll be like, oh, on this hole, like you have to use the F1 driver's tee shot or something like that, if it's like a par 3 or whatever it may be, because I mean you can't just have those guys on the sideline watching JT go against Ricky and Homa go against Morikawa.
I think Sainz is pretty good too. He's like a 7 or 8. And he played pretty well in that in the Ryder Cup deal from the little I saw of it. So
and to your point, KP, I think what we'll see is those guys are going to hit some good shots and they're going to hit some horrible shots. Yeah. Like that's what we've seen from from the celebrities in the past, right? Tom Brady holes out, but can't find the planet on most of his drives, right? There's a pretty big delta between the best shots and the worst shots from these guys.
Well, and I think these guys collectively are kind of worse than what we've seen from the Brady, certainly Curry, Aaron Peyton Rogers. Manning, like that whole crew. I think those guys are, I don't know about significantly better, but they're better than this crew. So you guys might want to wear helmets tonight. I don't know.
I was going to tell you, Patrick, at these
strictly in the tee boxes.
Yes. Yeah. And they let people stand like 275 in the right-hand rough. And it has been target practice out here.
Idiotic. Historically.
Not get anywhere close to that. No. It is a really good way to get hurt out here.
Yeah. That's no good, but yeah, Listen, like you guys are going to have a blast and I'm jealous that you got to hang out, have dinner. I am very interested just to see this sounds very inside baseball, but just to see the production of the whole thing, to see like, you know, Netflix never releases numbers, but I wouldn't be shocked if they had a massive audience just because people who are getting on Netflix tonight were curious about this. I mean, if I jumped on Netflix tonight, which I don't normally do at night, but if I did, and I saw something was live, even if I wasn't interested in that industry or that concept or whatever, I would for sure click on it because I'm like, oh, that's very different than what I normally get when I jump on here. So I don't know how much of that audience they'll actually capture, but I bet their like 2 second user numbers are going to be very high tonight.
I'm also interested to see. So I'll log in under my account and I'm sure it'll be front and center, you know, because you watched Full Swing, blah, blah, blah. I'll log in under Mina's and see how it's presented to her. Maybe it's the same. Maybe because there's a huge investment. It's like, hey, here's golf. But, you know, she has probably given no indication that she is interested in sports whatsoever. And I wonder if they will also try to present that to her in a similar fashion. Because that's kind of the beauty of this, right? I mean, Netflix was essentially built on the recommendation system, right? And knowing what you like, what you don't like, finding things that match. If that now goes into live events, it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, totally. And I think the other part of it, Rick, that's going to be interesting is the operational, like the logistics of it, right? Yeah. Because it's a very, I think sometimes the match and even Liv, I think you can give credit to Liv. They've made it look easier than it is. And this is not, and those are entities. I don't know who the executives are at Liv that were kind of over the production and the logistics, but I presume they had experience. Obviously, TNT, which does the match, has had a ton of experience doing stuff like that, but it's a hard thing. So I expect hiccups. I expect it to be a little bit of a mess. And I think if it's not, if it's smooth, that's a huge win for Netflix tonight.
Yeah, interesting. So it'll be 8 holes of Ricky Fowler, Lando Norris versus Justin Thomas and Carlos Sainz. 8 holes of Max Homa and Alex Albon versus Colin Morikawa and Pierre Gasly. The winners will move on to the championship, which will be, I believe, a final one hole sudden death championship match. So sample sizes out the window. One hole, probably on 18, which is the par 3 at the waterfall. It's their signature hole around here. We'll see how that works. Turn our attention overseas. DP World Tour Championship this week. Lots of big names in the field. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Victor Hovland. I could go on and on, but the race to Dubai, Patrick, it's over. It's clinched. Rory McIlroy, now 5 times the winner of the race to Dubai. Doesn't matter what happens this week. He has built himself a large enough lead where he'll be the champion.
I think it's really emblematic of who Rory has been the last 2 years and how good and consistent he is that he comes to this event not even needing to play, and he's won the season-long race. And it's almost been underrated, I think, just because he hasn't won a major or whatever it may be. But strokes gained-wise, I know Kyle's been harping on it, like just absolutely flat-out filthy. Every part of the bag's working for Rory. He comes into this week, I don't know the last time he's finished outside the top 20 in a tournament. It's just week after week, he's putting himself in with a chance to win. And when you put yourself in that position so many times, the ball is going to go your way like it did at the Scottish Open with that great finish as well. I think he kicked off the season after Teagate with Patrick Reed ruffling his feathers a little bit with the 4 aces tee on the driving range. That seems like 4 years ago. But all in all, just a phenomenal season by Rory McIlroy, and he categorized it this morning as a 7 out of 10. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do in 2024, what the Ryder Cup can do for him. We always talk about how it can be a launch pad for young players like a Scottie Scheffler or whoever it may be. Why can't it be a launch pad for Rory McIlroy? I think it totally could be, and I think 2024 is going to be a very exciting year for him.
I'm glad Patrick mentioned it, KP, because I was going to bring it up. 7 out of 10 is what he rated Rory McIlroy rated his 2023. Obviously, no major championship, but he alluded to 2 victories, the best he has ever played at a Ryder Cup. It wasn't a perfect year, but certainly one that he can be proud of.
Yeah, I think a couple of things make it a 7. Missing the cut at the Masters is obviously was a disappointment, and then, you know, he gave himself a chance at winning a major. Obviously finished, what, 1 back of Wyndham Clark at LACC. He had a better chance last year. I bet he would say last year was like an 8 out of 10 or maybe a 9, just because he was kind of should have won the Open Championship, or could have won, not necessarily should have won. He was a little bit more playing from behind at LACC this year. So, I mean, so much of his, I mean, Patrick mentioned it, his numbers, it does get lost because the conversation has been reduced to just, okay, do you have a fit? Did you win your fifth? And the answer is right. No. And it's like, okay, move on to 2024. And it's like, well, wait a second. The last 2 years have been statistically, he's never been better in terms of strokes gained, 2.58 and 2.52 or something. Just,
it's insane. I mean, that's insane.
It's stupid. I mean, it's, and his floor is like, his floor is higher than most guys' best season ever. I mean, his worst season is like 1.3 or 4, just off the top of my head, which, Rick, I mean, you can tell us where that kind of fits in.
I mean, it would be like his worst season ever would be like better than almost anybody in the field this week on the PGA Tour. And anything over a stroke per round is like high-level golf.
And I think what that tells me, Patrick, or either of you guys, is 2024, 2025, the next whatever sort of leap in his career or the next chapter in his career, it's mental, right? Because physically the gifts are still there, and he's actually, and he said this, he's like, I'm a better golfer now than I was when I was 24. But mentally you see the gap between, and this is the Padraig Harrington quote, the innocence versus experience. So mentally, can you free yourself up at majors at the biggest events? And the answer thus far has been no, but kind of felt like he did it more over the last 2 years, gave himself real chances at majors over the last 2 years. Whereas 2015 to 2021, if you want to criticize Rory, criticize him for not giving himself almost any chances at majors. 2018 Masters, kind of with Reed. But other than that, it was pretty barren. And I think that's a mark against a generational player, where you go from age 26 to 31 and or 32, and don't really give yourself a chance at a major. But that's turned a little bit. And I think he's just got to mentally free himself up a little bit. And if he does, then I think we're going to see more majors and obviously more wins from him at regular events.
The luxury of not necessarily having to win this week, winning would obviously be nice and go a long way, is that Rory McIlroy is seemingly on track to put a new driver in the bag, Patrick. He said, you'll probably see me with a new driver in the bag. It's the unreleased new TaylorMade. I think they're calling it there it is, QI10LS. It is on the conforming list. It has not been released yet. An opportunity for Rory to do a little bit of work, do a little bit of testing without much downside, considering he's already got it locked up.
Good for him. Company man, bringing out the new toy at the big stage. Yeah, why not? And I feel like we've seen it with so many of these guys, like even Max Homa last week when he showed up to South Africa. He's like, I really haven't played that much. I don't know what to expect for my game. Let me just boat race the field real quick. Where these guys lower the expectations of people, like Rory this week. He's like, yeah, I'm going to put a new toy in the bag. I'm going to test it out, see how it fits my game. I would not be shocked if he still wins this event by like 4 strokes, given how good he has been. And him just lacing this thing around the Earth course out there.
Yeah. That's kind of his MO, right? Is like just messing around and shooting 20 under.
Yeah.
Isn't that the gift of a golfer, right? Like the ability to separate yourself from outcome, like the ability to say, this doesn't matter, I can have fun. These guys talk about playing freely all the time, KP. The biggest freedom that you can have is essentially, this doesn't matter, I'm playing great golf, let me go out here and just boat race the field.
Yeah, I think I think especially for him, who he's somebody that obviously cares a lot and is mentally very sharp, and he's just he thinks a lot about legacy and history and all that stuff, and that can entangle you, as we've seen. I don't think it's like any big secret that way of thinking really, like, it kind of just jams him up at some of the big events. Now, I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily true at a race to Dubai. And so I don't know that there's a big delta between like locked in Rory and just messing around Rory at a tournament like this. But if he could figure out how to do that, he should just throw like new clubs in the bag for Augusta. Just play like just completely off the board. Play like persimmons or something. I legit think that something like that would mentally free him up to just focus on the golf and not like all the other things that are going on.
He's the favorite this week, Patrick. 4.5 to 1 to win. John Rahm, 5.5. Victor Hovland at 6. Then a little bit of a leap to some of the next group of golfers with Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Minwoo Lee, Tom Kim. So it's a very strong field, as they usually get for the DP World Tour Championship. It's not just Rory. We're going to see some big boppers over there.
Yeah, it's always a really fun event. And, you know, not to spend too much time on Rory, but you think about 2 years ago where he was at this event in particular with him ripping his shirt, Colin Morikawa somehow winning the DP World Tour Championship, which makes no sense at all. And where he is now at the top of the game, I think it's, you know, pretty easy to say that he's the best player in the world. It's one, a credit to his longevity, and two, just, I mean, how freaking good he is at golf.
I think I'm a little disappointed that, well, two things. I love this event. I think it's really interesting, and there's always something crazy that happens, and it's fun to cover, even from afar. I think this year I'm a little disappointed because, one, the Race Dubai is already wrapped up, which is like there's not any drama there. But also, we haven't seen a lot from guys like Hovland and Rahm since the Ryder Cup, so there might be some. I don't know. There just doesn't. It doesn't feel like there's maybe the juice that this tournament normally has at this time of year. But maybe we get an awesome one in spite of all that.
Maybe we do. We'll see as they kick off on Thursday morning. We're going to turn our attention to the RSM Classic, the final event of the FedEx Cup Fall. We'll release our best bets. But first, we are going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the Superfeet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And we're back. Stateside, RSM Classic, Sea Island, Georgia, the last event of the FedEx Cup Fall. Patrick, this is kind of a weird year, the first time that we've done this before going back to a regular calendar year schedule in 2024. The idea of signature events and earning your way into them was very foreign 6 months ago. Now we just had 7 events that are going to decide guys that get into those first 2 signature events. Zooming out, has this FedEx Cup Fall been interesting? Has it accomplished its goal? What would we grade this weird little 7-event stretch?
I think it's been buoyed heavily by the last 2 winners, where you have great stories with Eric Van Rooyen, another great story with Camillo. But outside of that, I think it probably like a C. Like, I think it's compelling where you have someone like these middle tier players like a Bo Haas or JJ Spahn trying to play into the big money events. But I don't know. My eyes just always get drawn to the top 125 and those guys trying to keep their card and full-time status. You have someone like Adam Long, Cameron Champs on the outside looking in, a multiple-time PGA Tour winner, Patton Kizzire as well, where the top 125's just always been more compelling than the next 10, which is fairly new. So, I give it a C. I think it was kind of put together last minute. I think you could do less events when – I mean, the PGA Tour came out with a press release this week about the RSM Classic being the last event of 2023. Guess how many events they had in 2023?
Does this include the fall of 2022?
Yes, the 2023 season.
Probably 54.
Wait.
He hit it on the head.
Oh, is that what it is? Wow.
54.
Okay.
There are 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah, that's
like there are so many events where I think there are 7 events for the FedEx Cup fall. I think you cut it down to 4 or 5. Take a few out.
I actually kind of felt like the reward wasn't big enough for the FedEx Cup fall. And I might have mentioned this before where seven events, everybody but the top 50, right? So you've got what, 150 guys, 200 guys, whatever it ends up being, fighting for 10 spots over 7 events. The reward is you get into the first two events of the first two signature events of next year. I actually thought the reward should be bigger than that.
Well, I think that, I mean, that's one of the rewards, right? It's also a little bit of a, you're not necessarily, you don't want to reward too much for like slipping into the lower 70 or whatever. I feel like we're talking about
the lower 70 used to be like the goal. You know what I mean? It's not like they've extended this to be, you know, it's only 50 guys who are locked into those things. It's not like we're at 125 and we're finding 10 more. We're at 50 and we're finding 10 more.
Yeah, that's true. But they are also fighting to be in the 125, right? For sure. And we're not talking about that as much because we're focused on, and rightfully so, because they're the ones that matter, the signature events. I think part of the fall for me, it's been great. The last 2 weeks especially have been awesome. But part of it for me is like this real, and this is not necessarily a fall specific thing, but this has been the year where it's like, okay, there's such a differentiation between signature and non-signature. And we're kind of like finally starting to sort of call it that. I mean, as a tour centric thing, it's like, just call it that, call it what it is, because that calling stuff what it is, one, clarifies for the viewer what they're watching. And I think provides good context for like what the different tiers mean, you know, and I get why they refuse, or why they've been hesitant to do that, because everybody's vote counts the same and everybody's equal. And it's like, well, that sounds great, but that's not the reality of like how all this works. So that's been one sort of clarifier for me, is like, yeah, these are very different, not just because none of these fall events have had really good players, or very, very few of them have had really good players, but also because they're fighting to get into the better events starting in January and February.
Well, this probably is one of the stronger fields that we've had this fall here, Patrick, because you get a lot of the guys with ties to Sea Island. This is always a very well-run event. A lot of guys like to get down there. So this is stacking up to be a pretty decent field. Do we have the updated FedEx Cup fall top 10, Josh? Thank you kindly. Bo Hostler has been essentially locked into that 51 spot for the vast majority of the fall, with Matt Kuchar, Mackenzie Hughes, Ben Griffin, and Taylor Montgomery right behind. Bo is going to sit it out this week. I think that he is, I think he thinks he's safe. He's probably right. He's very good at the math. He understands where he's at and all of this stuff. If he thought there was a chance he'd fall out of his top 10, he probably wouldn't be playing. But all the other 9 of the top 10 are teeing it up this week.
There's been one point of confusion out there, I think, with the next 10, and it kind of goes back to your point about rewarding good play in this part of the series. And Luke List is in the signature events for 2024 with his win, which I don't think people realize. So, like, Eric Van Rooyen, who's not inside the top 60 right now, he's not playing this week because he's already in all the signature events. He's got his status locked up for 2 years, everything like that. Masters invite, all that good stuff. I mean, the wins during this time of year count the same as a win at, I don't know, the Honda Classic or whatever it may be during the regular season. So there is some added reward in that respect. But yeah, Bo should be okay. I've kind of picked on Taylor Montgomery, but that boy's still right there at number 55, finding a way in. Good for
Taylor
him.
Montgomery, the fall Taylor Montgomery is Tiger Woods. Fall Taylor Montgomery, spring, summer, winter Taylor Montgomery is Rick Gaiman, right? Like, I mean, there is just a huge, like, he did nothing for the entirety of the calendar year of 2023 outside the last fall and this fall.
Yeah, I think this week you're seeing a lot of players. There's like a big no man's land between like 70 to 100 where these guys can't really move any which way. I look at Justin Suh, who has been playing quite well recently at the Zozo and in Mexico as well. I think he's like number 71 maybe. And yeah, to climb inside the top 60, he needs like a top three and a lot of help. So you have a lot of those guys who they have their full-time status locked up for sure. They're not going to drop out of the top 125, but they can't really climb inside the top 60. And so really you're just looking at the guys, you know, close outside the top 60, like Alex Noren, who's been playing well, or a Thomas Dietrich, and everyone in the middle kind of just gets lost in the shuffle.
Josh is pointing some stuff out to us in the chat with some facts and figures. Bo Hostler is 202 points ahead of 52nd. So there are not enough golfers, not enough points available for him to drop out of that top 10. So he'll be very much safe going into next year. Anything else before we jump to the best bets? Anything FedEx Cup Fall, RSM Classic, who's there, who's not? Golf courses, two different courses this week. Seaside Plantation, going once, going twice. Talk about the bets.
Ludwig, world number 53. Mm. Could be a big week for the Masters invitation. Top 50, end of the calendar year, gets that invite to Augusta National.
I think it's interesting. You've got guys incentivized to kind of go after different things this week. The Justin Suhs that you talked about are more incentivized to win than the Alex Smalley, Taylor Montgomery, who are incentivized just to hold on to that top, you know, that's the top 60 or their top 10 or whatever we're calling it, the next 10, whatever the name is. And so it'll be interesting to see if that affects the way that guys go about their week or take risks, or, you know, even on Sunday, if you've got a couple different types of, or a couple different categories of player in the mix, how that kind of plays out.
Yeah. Interesting. I love that. Okay. Well, let's do the best bets. We'll get to that. We'll release the picks, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Producer Josh with all the great research. Taylor Montgomery in September, October, and November. 3rd, 9th, 15th, 12th, 10th, 15th, 16th, 31st.
That's crazy.
Now, those might be his best finishes
ever
in the other months. Yeah, exactly. Ever. Oh, it's so wild. All right. So if you're new, this segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We take $100 over to FanDuel. We put $50 on a matchup, $30 on a finishing position, and $10 each on two separate outrights. Josh is going to release that grid right now, and we are going to start with you, Patrick, and your matchup for this week.
Yeah, let's go with the postman, even money over Cameron Young. I just need to see something from Cameron Young. It was disappointing in Mexico with that bologna sandwich. And Poston's been playing some really good golf. He comes off a third place finish there in Las Vegas. Sea Island native as well, so should be comfortable here. He wedges it well, and he puts the lights out of the golf ball. That's kind of what you got to do at Sea Island. So give me plus money, I will take it.
Yeah, KP, your matchup is not at the RSM Classic. You went across the pond. What'd you find?
Yeah, I went kind of all over the place this week. I went three different places with my bets, as we'll get to. But I got Matt Fitzpatrick over Matthew, I don't know how to say his name, Pavon?
Pavon? I believe it's Pavon.
Because he's French. French,
I believe. Yeah. Yes.
Fitzpatrick obviously always plays well at this golf course, and he's been playing well. I mean, obviously he won St. Andrews after the Dunhill after the Ryder Cup. So I went pretty safe with some of my bets this week, other than the outrights. Even the outrights are a little bit safer than normal. I wanted to touch off what's been a good fall and not blow it all here.
Lock up your winnings here in the last event. Smart guy. I went Alex Noren over Corey Connors. Corey Connors has not played since, it's been 2.5 months, Tour Championship. No idea what the status of his game is. I think on paper, this is a pretty decent spot for him, but Noren has been playing phenomenal golf. He's plus 115 to beat Corey Connors. And we were talking about it a little bit on Monday's show. You kind of got to get off to a fast-ish start around here. And if you haven't played in 2.5 months and you get off to a slow start, things might go sideways for Corey Connors. Finishing position, any one that we want. Patrick, let's bop it back down to you.
Yeah, the Todd father, Brendan Todd, plus 175 to finish inside the top 20. I like that he's been playing this fall. He had a nice finish there at the Fortinet Championship, top 20 last week in Bermuda, but I think he played a lot better than what the finish suggested. So comfortable around these parts, accurate. Great putter, good wedge player. So top 20 at plus 175.
I got plus 120 on a top 30 for Taylor Pendrith. Three straight top 15s. I think he's maturing. I think that the game is translating a lot of different golf courses. I like the way he fills it up. I like the skill set. I like him to finish inside the top 30 at plus 120. KP, your finishing position is a top 10.
Yep. I've got Victor Hovland, top 10 in Dubai. Just touching off what's been the best year of his career, obviously. And he hasn't played, I don't believe, since Ryder Cup, but he's been so good this year. And this is not the greatest field. And I just think his baseline right now is top 10, if not better.
Two outrights for each of us. They go across both the DP World Tour Championship and the RSM Classic. Patrick, let's start with you and your two outrights, please.
Russ Bus Henley at 16-1. He has not played since the Tour Championship, but spanning out, you know, last half year or so, he leads this field in total strokes gained, tee to green approach, everything. And he's known to get out to fast starts. So I'm okay looking past that mini offseason he's enjoyed and thinking he'll be okay this week at 16-1. And then Brendan Todd at 40-1, stacking it with the top 20. He's just been playing some really good golf, and he has nothing to lose this week. He's inside the top 50 in the FedEx Cup already, and so I think a win is right around the corner for him.
All right, Brendan Todd, 40-1, Russell Henley, 16-1. I went with Tom Kim at 22-1 in Dubai. He's back to being a great approach player. The putter can always get scorching hot. We're seeing some of the best golf that Tom Kim has played in his young career since he had those two wins very close to one another. What would that have been last fall heading into President's Cup? And then I went with Billy Horschel, 45-1, who is statistically a completely different player than he was for 2023. He's played three times on the DP World Tour this fall. He's playing better. The metrics are coming around. And when Billy gets in the mix, he's capable of winning big events. So Tom Kim at 22-1. Billy Horschel 45-1. KP, round us out on your outright, please.
Yep. I got Tommy Fleetwood at 16-1 to win Dubai. He finished T12 last week in South Africa, got a little rust off following, I guess he played Dunhill after Ryder Cup also, but I think he's been like kind of quietly awesome this year. And I think he'll play well in Dubai. And then I actually do have Corey Connors this week. I know you're not super high on him, Rick, but this is a place where he does play pretty well historically. So 20-1, kind of a flyer. I'm still bummed about picking the second and third place guys last week and getting nothing for it.
Not a dime for it. Yeah, I think on paper it's a great spot for him, and he's been who knows, maybe he's been playing a lot of golf. There's always this discussion of like, is it a big difference between like, it's not like he's been sitting around eating bonbons on his couch for the last 2.5 months.
Right.
He's been hitting golf balls. I don't know if it's critical to get competitive reps in. I guess we'll find out. But Corey Connors on paper, great fit for both these courses in Sea Island. So that's Tom Kim, Billy Horschel, Tommy Fleetwood, Corey Connors, Russell Henley, Brendan Todd, 6 separate outrights on 2 tournaments. And then we beg Josh to give us an extra $50 in which we put on anything we want. And wow, we've done pretty darn good this fall. That's 4 out of the 5 of us in the black. Sorry, Mark. Still time. Maybe he'll text in a pick or something at, you know, 10-1. But Patrick, you have not put together a Patrick's positivity parlay for this week. What'd you do?
No, morale's down a little bit.
You hit like 3 in a row.
I know. FanDuel didn't have it up quite yet. I think they know. They know that we're catching fire. Mm. So I like everything that Kyle had to say about Tommy Fleetwood. I totally agree. So top 10 at even money, I think, is a safe bet. And look at us, triple digi boys.
Heck
it's
yeah.
It's clean living up here, let me tell you.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I took Will Gordon, top 40 at plus 125. Incredibly talented golfer. Has put 2 good tournaments together in a row. He has 2 top 15s in his 3 trips to Sea Island. I think we have to take it a hair seriously. So I'm asking him to finish inside the top 40 at plus 125. And KP, you've done it. You've accessed the Netflix Cup. What can we what can we get from you here?
Why not? I've got Homa. I hate to go against my guy Pierre Gasly, but I've got Max Homa and Alex Albon. Homa is playing obviously tremendous golf. This is a ridiculous bet because it's not a real event, but I think Alex Albon's going to be sneaky good. I'm not positive, but I think he's going to be sneaky good. Josh is wondering about jet lag issues. Justin Thomas has the same jet lag issues. He's coming from South Africa as well. Not worried about Max Homa. So yeah, I got them. They're actually, I think, the favorites at plus 220. So we'll see.
Yeah. All the teams are like plus 220 to plus 300, I think, is what I saw a little bit earlier. Do you want us to try to influence this, right? Do you want us to, like, when their opponent will yell in backswings, we'll kick balls into the water, we'll do whatever we need.
So put something in Ricky's his Yeti deal, his
some eye drops. Bottle.
Yeah, do whatever you need to do. Plus 220 is a good number, and I'm looking to hit it. Nope, we're gonna keep the trippy didge up.
Dude, I mean, you're safe, right? I mean, even if you lost this, you'd be up 107 for the fall. So you're safe.
Is that right?
Because right? you go down from...
What is your math?
He's up
$120. It's $50.
Oh, it's $50. Sorry, I was thinking it was $20.
Yeah.
It's $50. I'm an idiot. Disregard. That is Will Gordon, top 40, Max Homa and Alex Albon to win the Netflix Cup. That's a sentence. And Tommy Fleetwood to finish top 10 at even money. Those are the best bets. And of course, they're brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We've done it, gents. We've covered 3 different tournaments in different regions of the world. Who else could pull this off but us?
Literally no one.
Yeah, nobody.
Pat on the back there. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Patrick, did you read the oh yeah, here we go. This is me and Rick sitting on the same seat in at Oak Hill. Step brothers.
The show must go on. The show must go on. Whatever it takes.
We look very serious too. Patrick, did you have any reaction from the Paul Kimmage, Rory, Shane Lowry interview?
I think I would have been most surprised if Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay had a good relationship. I think many people on the PGA Tour, I'm a huge fan of Patrick Cantlay myself, but I know many people on the PGA Tour probably have their quips with him just because he is the smartest man in the room as well. But yeah, I think it's it was pretty enlightening. It was cool to see the background behind the European team galvanizing around Rory McIlroy after that. And it was pretty funny to hear him say, "Oh crap, I think I'm in trouble." And then Luke Donald saying like, "F yeah, boys, that's how we're doing." And I would love, I think one thing I'd love to see if there, I know there's a part two coming out, or, you know, maybe some more details around that Shane Lowry speech that he gave the team. That's something I doubt they would ever divulge to the public, but that's something I think was really cool, because I don't think you could have someone better on that European side delivering a speech than a fiery Shane Lowry, who's been tumbling up and down the 18th fairway at Marco Simone all day. So it was really cool to read.
Can you imagine what the words that he said? He probably, what, I mean,
Rory said he's been hanging out with rugby players too much, right? Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It was very good. The Paul Kimmich Rory stuff's always good. I thought it was actually the Ryder Cup stuff was interesting, enlightening. I think that Rory said some stuff that he wishes he hadn't said, and it was so interesting to hear him kind of admit, like, I think the word he used was, or the phrase he used was, I had a red mist come over me, like after the match was over, which is unusual. It's usually the other way around, right? Like it's usually kind of flip flopped, and his just lingered into the night. And but I thought I actually thought the coolest part of the interview was them talking about their kind of rekindled friendship and how it's just how much they've enjoyed spending time with one another, being with each other's families, because they had a kind of not a falling out, but they were just not close for a while over management and agent issues and a bunch of just, you know, behind the scenes stuff. So that part of it was cool to see. And I'm Lowry is obviously a great quote, and I'm glad they kind of pulled him in for that sit down at the end of the year.
So good. Love it. Love the insight. Love the updates from the Ryder Cup and everything else that goes on along the way. Netflix Cup, I think it's noon to 3 Eastern. No,
6 Other to 9. Around.
6 to 9 Eastern. I double converted. 6 to 9 Eastern. Live on Netflix. I guess we'll see what happens. And we'll be out there to break it all down. We're going to do a Thursday Netflix Cup reaction pod. That'll be Patrick and I. And then we're going to do a Sunday, normal like Sunday recap show. That's the schedule for this week. Big thanks to producer Josh. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald is available on Twitter at Amateur Status. You can find Kyle at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.